You're listening to Kaleidoscope, America's number one radio magazine. Stay tuned for more.
Hello and welcome. This is Ariella for Kaleidoscope Radio Magazine. How many times have you said, one nation, under God, indivisible? Well, I said it plenty of times, but the last few years I felt pretty silly saying it because I don't feel indivisible. This country has been divided very dramatically. I've never seen, never witnessed, never heard of such discord in a nation as we have had in the past few years. And this is going to be today's topic. Now, because we're going to be talking about politics, I need to advise you that the opinions stated here on the program are those of the producer and the host and the guests on the show. They are not those of the radio station or any of its affiliates, the children, or their pets. So now, we are very fortunate to have here with us an actress, a writer, director, playwright, business owner, Lee Kessler. She has been nominated twice for the Emmy, once for Collision Course and once for Which Mother Is Mine. And she has authored a most incredible book, which is going to be a top seller. It's called White King and the Doctor. So welcome, Lee. Very wonderful to have you here.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Great.
Looking forward to talking to you.
Great. Now, as an actress, what did you enjoy doing the most?
Well, the role that you just referred to, the Collision Course, I was actually submitted for Emmy nomination, didn't get an Emmy nomination for that, but I was playing Margaret Truman in a movie about the collision course between General MacArthur and President Truman at the end of the Korean War. And I loved doing that. Also, on the stage in New York, I had the privilege of playing the legendary diarist and novelist Anna Esenin, and I was the first woman in history to ever be authorized to play her. And that, along with a wonderful opportunity to play opposite Peter O'Toole in a movie called Creator, those are kind of standouts along the way here.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now, you're also a business owner. What kind of business do you have?
Yes, I've had an internet marketing business and leadership development business for a number of years, and that allowed me to be one of the pioneers in internet commerce.
Wow, very cool. Now, we're going to talk today about your book, White Great. King and the Doctor, which is a most amazing book and mandatory reading for anybody who breathes. Really, truly amazing. May I ask you what interested you in writing about politics and the terrorists and all of that?
Well, I didn't start out to do that. What happened after 9/11, I felt on that day that we were in the fight of our lives and that if we fail, the whole world enters a new dark age. So I, like Americans, trying to figure out what we could do, what could I do. And initially, I just worked in the area of commerce. But as we came towards the 2004 elections, what you just talked about, this indivisible, and that the level of discord and rancor and anger, I did not expect, not only did I not expect it, but at a time when Americans should be more united and politicians should be more united, we were more divided than at any time in my lifetime. That caused me to want to take a look in there because I recognized from some other training and background and experience I've had in my entertainment industry career that there was, in fact, a fifth column operating inside the United States. And that's a term for a force operating inside a country whose purpose is to break solidarity, to sabotage, and so on. And once I spotted that, then that led me on quite an adventure that resulted in White King and the Doctor.
Right. A most amazing trip, I have to say. Now, you wrote the book as a suspense novel.
Yes.
But you've done quite a bit of research on the real-life terrorists.
That's correct. It's a suspense novel, but it's based on actual facts. Mm-hmm. And I felt I had to take it into novel format because although I was dealing with real people, of course, I'm speculating, I'm taking it through the point of view of the mastermind of Al-Qaeda, so I'm having to speculate there. And putting it into novel format, I think, enables people to look at the concepts a little bit more, get involved in the story, and if the story seems plausible and it's based upon the facts and headlines that they've been living through and recognizing and so on, all of a sudden they may go, wow, that's a wake-up call. And that was my intention, that there's something happening to us in America mm-hmm. that we're not aware is happening, and if we don't wake up, we're done.
Right. Now, from your book, I understand, first of all, forget Osama bin Laden. Mm-hmm. He's as good as gone. He'll never bother us again. We don't need to bother about him at all. Now, the person to concentrate on is Ayman al-Zawahiri.
Correct. In my opinion, yes. It was one of the early things in research that I did. Israeli intelligence had tried to warn the Americans long before 9/11 that they regarded him and one other man, Mohammed Atef, who's now dead, we killed him, as the two most dangerous men on the planet. And Israeli intelligence said that their best analysts could never figure these guys out. They didn't know what they looked like, and they never knew what move they were going to make next. That was intriguing to me. I took that on as a challenge to see if I, using acting technology of playing real people, could figure out what Zawahiri would be doing.
Mm-hmm. Now, you say that Israeli intelligence said they couldn't figure out what he looks like. So what is this picture that's on everybody, on the playing cards, on the website, and on the cover of your book?
Well, the picture that's on the cover of the book, at least right now, before we change and do a new edition with that, is taken from the FBI site, but who that picture is one of the great mysteries in the book. And why is it that we don't really know what he looks like, and why did the Israelis say that? That's part of the mystery and the suspense of it. Is there something that he's doing, and has he gone someplace other than we think he's gone to affect his next things that he's going to do to us?
Right. Very interesting. Now, you talked about Shinoy. There's a person who produced or co-produced Al-Qaeda videos. Mm-hmm. Now, he, you say, received awards for war films that he had produced before. And al-Zawahiri recruited him because he knew a secret about some sexual exploits and a cult he belonged to.
Right.
Anything you can add to that?
Well, that character is a fictitious character. This is where I was into the area of exploration of how are they doing the videos and the audios that they're releasing. And I decided to partner them up with India's film and television industry, which is so very strong, and they're more advanced in many ways than American films. And knowing that bad guys and evil guys always have a folder that they blackmail people with, I simply created the whole storyline that you're referring to as to how is it that Al-Qaeda has a propaganda machine greater than anything we're experiencing in American television or films. That's the main point on it.
Now, you brought up an extremely interesting point where you say Al-Qaeda filmed 30 or more, oh, actually more than 100, I think you said, of tapes, videotapes, and adjusted the tape for every...